for interviews. So basically, my bag was still in the hallway. I said, "Go get my bag for me, and we'll chip. We'll get out of here. Get the boys home half an hour early. I'm trying to do my car a favour." So we goes get bag, jumps in car, gets 25 minutes down the road. My phone rings, Mark Minicello. It says, "Pricey, I've got your bag, you've got my bag."
It's
got my car keys in it. You've got to come back, you've got no choice. So we turned around and we had to drive all the way back. And then by the time we got back, all the rush hour traffic had built up and we just had a nightmare.
What punishment are you going to give this lad?
Oh, it don't matter what we give him, he's not all there.
All right.
He's a madhouse.
Now, the media days themselves, obviously they're all going on at the moment. Do you see there's a real value in them? Obviously, from the club's point of view, from the media's point of view, obviously, Leon, you don't think there's much value because you snuck off.
I do think there's value, but I've been doing it for the last 18 years and I just end up repeating myself. I'm sick of talking about myself. How do you think you went last year? Well, yeah, I think I went all right. How do you think I went? You tell me how I went.
Throwing it back up there.
I mean, did you watch any games? What's your job? Well, you know how I went. Well, tell me, did I play good or rubbish?
No, you see, that's a little bit of a bugbear with me. The fact that somebody who's done a university degree in journalism dictates how well I play at rugby league and gives me a mark, and it really frustrates me. Because I'll get home and mum will say, "Oh, how do you think you went?" And I'll go, "Probably my best game of the year." She went, "Only got a 4 in paper."
But when you first start playing, you're looking paper. I had like first time playing football, and I've opened page on a Sunday morning. 6 out of 10, you're joking. Damn, I didn't play that well. Somebody who's never played a game of rugby league in their life had given you marks out of 10 on how you played.
Yeah, I think it's crazy. My mum actually believes it as well.
You know what's
but fans believe it as well.
What the media does. They shape perception. But what is the greatest thing in the world is when it doesn't matter, they're going to be having the worst game in the world, but if you get a hat trick, you get an 8 or a 9.
You're man of match.
It does not matter.
You're man of the match.
How rubbish you've played.
That's
if you catch the ball and put it over that try line 3 times, you will get an 8 or a 9.
Yeah, and on the flip side, you sometimes do 40 tackles, knock yourself out.
And you get 4 out of 10.
Loads of carries,
and you get 4 out of 10. Below average.
didn't make an impact. Did all the work no one else wanted to do, but did not make an impact. Leon, this weekend, you guys, you headed off to Doncaster. And we know how you love pre-season friendlies. When that snow started coming down on Saturday night, you were like, snow.
On Sunday morning, I was texting the WhatsApp group. We've got a players' WhatsApp group. I was saying, is it off? I said it about 15 times.
You can just picture Leon up in Queensbury, because Queensbury's quite high. He stood there with
his kids in bed.
And a sled.
I stayed in bed till about half 10 until I found out that the game were on. Then I got up and I made Carly go and make me my porridge and bring it up for me with my coffee.
Oh, game day routine.
I'm not going to lie, I won't play this week because I've got a bad hip, so I went sledging before the game.
Did you? That's what I wanted to do.
Yeah, I managed to go sledging before the game.
We got a good win, so that's all I'm at.
The disappointing thing, obviously, is the Keep Moat Stadium in Doncaster has under soil heating, doesn't it?
Oh, it was perfect. The place, the plane service was fantastic.
So how did it feel, your first knockout?
Yeah, good, I carved it up. I only played 15 minutes. I scored one.
That's always a good sign. Now you started the game. You kicked off.
Started the game.
He brought up just after
Scored first try game after about 5 minutes. Set 3 up, and then I set 1 up after half time, and then came off.
It's nothing to be proud of. Those guys are hard times.
I'm just letting you ask me how it went. I'm just letting you know.
Robbo, we'll move straight on. Hulk Hour, your boys played Hulk Hour. You go over and watch.
Yeah, I think what summed up for me was we were sat in a box with me and Elks, one playing, and one of Ruffy's mates came in and said, "I've just been studying the crowd, and a Hulky R fell asleep, stood up against the side of wall." So that probably sums up the game, if I'm being honest. It wasn't the best.
Is it really, though? Because, you know, those what they're like in East Hull. It might have just been a long night the night before.
You're thinking he's drunk, basically. Is that what you're saying about?
Well, I'm not suggesting that. I'm just stating, funnier things have happened over in East Yorkshire.
Yeah, but it obviously won the greatest again. We came out on top and we're probably a dominant force, really. But, you've got to take each game with a pinch of salt, especially this time here. You know, we went to St. Helens a few years back and got absolutely pumped by 40.
In a friendly.
Yeah. Went back 2 weeks later in the first league game and beat them by 40. You know, you've got to take it for what it is. It's a pre-season friendly. We're giving people a run out, but, it's things for work on. But we look pretty good and they didn't look great, if I'm being totally honest.
And we're going to get the backlash from that this week when we're playing in the derby.
in the mighty derby. Do you always play a derby as a pre-season friendly?
I think after Richard Horn's testimonial game was the first time they've done it as a pre-season friendly.
And it was a sellout.
And it was 22,000 or 26,000.
So they're saying, let's get paid.
So they're saying, let's get that game on once a year and keep the clubs happy, yeah.
What? Does that take away a little bit from the actual game in the year? Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm not a massive fan of overplaying games. Obviously, you were part of, I was, the Wigan and Saints derbies.
Yeah.
When the league changed the format, sometimes we play you four times a year. It was just a bit...
It dilutes the importance of it as the playing wise, but when you get older, you realise that the game's a business.
Yeah, it's about money.
And at the end of the day, the head sheds want the cash, don't they?
Yeah,
you're right. And you know, Robbo, with the Giants, you were supposed to play a game last weekend against Halifax. That got called off. Game this weekend, game next weekend. Last year, we were discussing Huddersfield Giants being undercooked, not prepared. You know, obviously, your game against the Bulls was called off. So rather than run the risk of not having enough game, it seemed like you lined up three games to make sure you hit the season running.
Yeah, I think, you know, Last year, I think we was undercooked, really. We started off the season extremely poor.
Can we blame that on Blue?
Yeah. Although Leon and his boys did a good job. He did a good job on us that night. I think you beat us by 30, didn't you?
Nil. Leon was the same.
Oh, yeah, we're nil as well.
Well, I was saying to your defence, where you had only had one game in preparation, and Leon was saying, it's not our fault. It's not our fault.
Well, it's not, is it? I think basically with
it's Ballou's fault that he organises the pre-season friendlies.
Yeah, but he couldn't control this. He couldn't control the snow up at the Providence Stadium.
All right, is that why he got called off? you didn't tell me that.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, so this year, obviously, I think they've had a bit of a safety blanket in the fact that they've decided Halifax seems to get called off every year. I think the football kick off a lot down at the stadium, put a lot of pressure on the council, so that won't go ahead again this year. So we've got Callan, which should be a good test, because you look at their playing roster, it's just ridiculous.
Oh, it's an NRL
their
team.
Recruitment.
It's an NRL team playing within the Super League. Must be an NRL budget playing within Super League.
Although, to be fair, I think...
Easily. Have you seen the team? It's a full international team.
It's like...
It is an awesome ridiculous. Team.
I mean,
on paper, but you know the culture. You know whether or not on paper doesn't always work.
It doesn't, but come on, man. You've got Todd Carney, Pat Richards, David Taylor,
Glenn Stewart.
The list just goes on. Paul Ayton. You know, the list goes on.
It's ridiculous. The side's ridiculous.
Pat Richards.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's unbelievable. They've even signed Miley, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
The side's unbelievable. But I was talking to Jody Broughton as well, and he was saying that he's struggling a little bit over there, trying to keep up with Dave Taylor's drinking.
I've heard same.
He's obviously a massive, massive man. So obviously, Jody Broughton's gone over there,
hollow legs.
He's gone over there. He just said basically he's written him off every single time he's gone out with him. He said he just drinks that much, that fast.
Well, let's be honest, Jody wasn't a big drinker anyway.
Well, he knows he's not. He's a nice
But he's trying to get
boy.
Into, the, you know, I'm trying to be one of the boys. You've got to go out with the boys. New team, get in with the crew.
I don't think they mind going out. You know, Todd Carney, Dave Taylor.
But that's part of the problem with Catalans and why they haven't been as successful as the paper team describes they should have been. Is because maybe the culture of it. Leon, you've spoken yourself. There's a barbecue culture. There's a beach culture. Everyone around to each other's house every other night.
I wouldn't say that was the problem. The main problem is travelling. They don't lose. We never lost games at home, hardly. As home form, and when we got the crowd behind us, were fantastic. But travelling, we always had a problem. And it's something that goes through the whole of French rugby, not just rugby league, rugby union. If you watch the results, a lot of the teams that travel in France, they put more of an emphasis on the home games than they do on the away games.
All right, well, thank you, boys. After the break, we'll be back. And we've got a special event coming up in 2 weeks' time. So I'll describe that in a little more detail after this break. So stay with us here on Pulse 1.
Pulse 1 Travel.
With Bristol Street Motors. For your new Nissan and a great deal more. Visit us on Thornton Road, Bradford and Shayside, Halifax.
Right, here's your latest on the roads. M62 westbound. There's queuing traffic due to a broken down vehicle between Junction 28 Tingley and 27 Gildersham. It's lane 4 of 4. Still quite busy in the area. M1 southbound, the usual there. Junction 43 Belle Isle. It's getting busy. Hebden Bridge, Mayroyd Lane, still closed due to emergency repairs between Station Road and Palace House Road. The latter is where you'll get your diversion. Mythenroyd, Midgley Road also closed. Wall collapse at Sunny Bank, of course, out of action for a while. Hipper Home, Halifax Sykes Road, heavy going there around Brighouse Road, Sorby Bridge both ways, Tulane Lane, steady going, Queensgate and Huddersfield also busy around the Shorehead roundabout, Bradford Manchester Road, crawling between Mill Lane and Ransdale Road, and you've got some steady traffic in Pudsey as well around Dawson's Corner. If you spot a jam, call the boys 0127 4200 200 and ask for a piece of birthday cake.
It's all about rugby. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 1.
Hey, West Yorkshire, HP here, and we're talking rugby league every Wednesday evening right here on Pulse 1. Now, tonight we're giving away a Bradford Bulls basic membership to a lucky listener. All you have to do to win the superb prize is just answer this question. Name the year Leon first played for St. Helens. So not the year he left the Bradford Bulls. Name the year he first played for St. Helens. Now, to do that, just email the answers to www.pulse1.co.uk/RHP show or just tweet us at Pulse One Radio. All right, we've got an interesting event coming up, boys.
Go on then.
We are going to be running this show, the RHP show, live from the Providence Stadium on Wednesday, the 3rd of February, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m., not 6 p.m. to 7.
2 hour show.
2 hour show. And we have a number of special guests. Obviously, Leon, Luke, and myself will be on the show, but we'll also be joined by Paul Anderson, Stuart Fielding. I'm going to be getting Big Joe Vaganau on the phone also. So three of the awesome foursome. I was trying to get Brian McDermott as well, but he's committed with Leeds Rhinos at night, but he has promised me he'll send us a Leeds Rhinos player along.
Could be a bad mix, that. You know, I don't know if Leon feels the same as me, but it's a bit of a love-hate between props and halfbacks.
It is,
honest,
big donkeys,
I mean?
Ain't?
Yeah. Just nuggets, aren't they? I've
ended up as coaches, though. I've ended up as good coaches as well. Guys who are actually like winning trophies. How are they managing that?
This is the craziest thing.
Good players.
The guys that led those players and told those big donkeys, this is where you go. The strategic part of playing the game, we're not the guys that coaches the sport. It's all the big donkeys. No. The guys that just were head up, back, you know, head up, or head down, backside up, ball under the armpit.
I'm not happy about it. I've been petitioning for more halfbacks hookers to be coaches.
I'm petitioning for more black coaches as well. I'm saying more black coaches that play halfback.
So, that's just you.
Yes,
you're
that's what I'm saying.
Well, the rest of them, everyone else plays in the forwards or in the backs. where do I go with that one? Well, I had something really interesting to say on the back end of that.
We were talking about forwards being the coaches.
But I can't remember.
Oh,
it
go on,
so.
Move on then.
But it's going to be an interesting show. We're going to have a live audience there as well.
Oh, nice.
I think 100 to 200 people are going to be invited along.
Cool.
Come and hang out. Oh, if you want to find out details as well, actually, it's a members event. If you want to find out details for the Bradford Bulls, if you want to be there, contact the Bradford Bulls website or just have a look at it and you see all the details built within the website itself. So moving quickly along, big event on the 3rd of February. Oh, also, it's my birthday.
When?
That night.
3rd of Feb.
3rd of February.
Right, cool.
1976, that's when I was born.
So that makes me what? 40 this year.
40. The big 4-0. Oh, what he's going to get me.
How do you feel about that?
I'm cool with it. I was, you know, I was the only rugby league player that I knew that used to actually say his real age.
Yeah.
Robert, you've been 31 for the last four years.
I've been 31 for a long, long time. I think it was Benny Westwood
who
taught.
Your hips going, you had old man's injuries. I'm sure I paid to come and watch you play.
Benny Westwood, we were in England once, so showed me how to change my Wikipedia age. And then all of a sudden it changed in papers as well.
I've got a story about that. Brent Webb changes off by a year. He changes by a year, made himself a year younger, but when he signed for Catalan.
Yeah, I changed mine literally in the papers.
Robert's
the week
been
later.
Doing it for the last 4 years.
I don't know if I can say that I was retired, can't I?
Yeah, yeah. You shouldn't, but you did.
Yep.
I'm looking forward to it. It should be a good night. A little bit of fun, a little bit different because we don't just have Jakey and Ewan as our audience this time. We're going to have a whole bunch of other people. And to be honest, I reckon we make it exactly what it is, backs versus the forwards. Cool. We have that. We create that type of event.
Although, to be fair, Stu was actually a little bit like my bodyguard when we're on nights out. So
he was mine as well.
Was it yours?
Yeah, well, actually, him and Leon used to fight all the time, but he used to walk them. Around and just field him.
I'll tell you an absolute beauty. We were on Mad Monday once, and me and Woody, Carl would like a little dance, and I'm just an umpa lumper, and he's just dancing away. Next minute, loads of Scottish lads just start ripping off his costumes for no reason. I said, "This lads, you don't want any of this with us." And they thought it would just be a Woody. Next minute, Stu just comes walking out of like the darkness, out of the black, dressed as a Greek god with no top on, and just like you're like just rounded them all up and took them all in the corner. Next minute, anyway, they were putting my wig back on and patting me down on
buying your drinks.
That's why we love Fielding, and that's why we love Stuart Fielding.
Love that bloke. Oh, many a time did he have to come and rescue me, also, but normally it was me causing a problem. Okay, moving quickly along. Last week, we didn't get a chance to cover this because, as organic as the show went last week and with Rob Parker in, and we just went off on a different tangent. But I wanted to come back to it. Now, page 3 of one of the trade rags last week had the Bulls chairman Mark Green demanding answers from the RFL concerning an investigation into Salford's action regarding two separate contracts for Tony Pulitoa. Now, the first contract was for an annual salary of $80,000, and the second contract was produced for £48,000, and a company called company connected to the club chairman. Now, note that the agreement was reached outside of a tribunal between the two parties, which meant the outcome of the tribunal wasn't needed in the end, so it didn't really matter. But as the two documented contracts were produced and a member of the RFL was present, an investigation had to be undertaken into what the Bullsman, which is what the Bullsman, Bulls chairman is requesting answers to. Now, there's more to it than that, but that's at the heart of what the issue is. Now, what are your guys' thoughts concerning the salary cap? Because obviously this is what it's all about. It's about the ability to be able to buy in talent and do it within a very restricted price range. Because there is an element of concerning a restriction of trade from a playing point of view. You know, not being able to have the ability to purchase players or, you know, what are your guys' thoughts on it?
I mean, when I was in England 2011, Jamie Peacock, Nigel Wood came and spoke to us a little bit about certain issues. And Jamie Peacock stood up and basically confronted him on the, he don't think that you know, with inflation, everyone else's wage has gone up in every other job.
Year was this?
This was in 2011. And he said that basically, from what he can understand, when he was back in his early days playing at Bradford, the actual, our wage hasn't gone up changed. Like everyone else's. It's not changed. The bonuses are still the same. The money that everyone's getting paid annually is still the same, yet in every other walk of life, whether your dad is a sheet metal worker, whether you're a postman, everything's gone up with inflation apart from our job, which I think it needs addressing. Mm-hmm. I understand that there's got to be a restriction because there's going to be certain clubs that run away with it. You don't want just a one-sided, you know, division where there's three clubs that
already
can win it.
Still have, do we not
probably
already have
to
that?
A certain extent. We probably do have that a little bit. And I do think it needs to go up just for the pure fact that, you know, when I first started my career, Australians and New Zealanders like yourself came here, whereas now we're having it the opposite way. We don't get big names over here. If they come over here, they've done something wrong or they're getting to the back end of their career. Not all, but mainly.
Retirement.
And it is. It's because we can't travel. It used to be 3-1 did the exchange rate. It's no longer that. We can't, you know, we're asking them to leave the family, leave the beach, leave the sun and come for less money. You know what I mean? That's not going to happen. And it's not only that, we're losing them to rugby union as well as rugby league, I think.
Well, I think the Australian salary cap is, at this point in time, 2.5 times larger than the Super League.
Other than the franchise player, when was the last time the salary cap was increased?
Well, it was increased last year.
No, that's only with the franchise player.
No. It was increased from 1.25. Well. It went up to 1.8.
Was it?
Five, yeah.
Okay.
So they had... But like you're talking about, there was a long time.
We're talking well over a decade,
yeah. Of where that hadn't really grown. As I remember it, the reports were when the Super League was first conceived back in 1996. There was this injection of money into it, but the profile of the sport was very high. And part of the reason that the profile was very high was due to the Super League ARL wars going on down under, News Corp and whatever the other big media body was down there. When they kissed and made up, there was less media interest in the actual fraction in the fight, which meant that globally there was less media interest in rugby league, which then deemed that the actual money that we got from Sky, and I think in the second round of investment.
That was years ago, though, wasn't it? But in Australia now, that when the buzzing, they get the games out there, it's growing. And
it
growing.
Has, it has.
Every year, every year is growing stronger.
They've been
it?
Able to pull back that talent that they had from, you know, from year to year. Mm. And I think that's at the heart of what we're talking about, isn't it? We've implemented the marquee player rule to try and hold on to that talent.
Wigan and Rugby League have got together and said, let's get Sam Tompkins back, so we'll bring this rule in. That's what's happened there, isn't it? Let's be fair.
There's probably another reason why I thought Jamie Peacock would have been a shoo-in for getting a job with RFL, but that's actually, now that we know that...
that's why he's not got a job.
Nigel's got a big memory. Yeah. Big memory.
We can't expect to keep Tompkins and Burgesses and James Grahams when the salary that they can earn down in Australia is four times what they can earn here. We're not going to better keep
and
the paper.
Yeah, and I understand we can't just tell all of us and say, right, the salary cap's 10 million. You know, because we're not bringing in that revenue, but we should increase it and we should offer things.
Every two or three years, grow gradually with the game.
Yeah. What mind boggles me is the fact that the RFL are making so much money every year and they seem to be growing and expanding, yet the clubs aren't.
All right, well, there's loads of points to talk about on this one issue, so stay around. We'll be back soon and we'll continue to discuss all things in rugby league, all that and more coming up after the break.
How much are they making here?
Big names and big stories from the world of rugby league. This is the Robbie Hunter-Paul Show on Pulse One.
Evening, everybody. Robbie Hunter-Paul here, and I'm live with Leon Price and Luke Robinson. Tonight, we're giving away a Bradford Bulls basic membership to one of you lucky people tonight. Just name the year Leon first played for St. Helens. You can email your answers to www.pulse1.co.uk/RHP show or tweet us at Pulse One Radio. Now, we're just coming off the back end of it. So how do we fix this situation, boys, in regards to salary cap and injection of income? Because obviously we're talking about a single pool of money, which is the majority of that comes from the Sky TV deal. So how do we fix that? If we're locked in for a contract, if we're locked into the contract to, I think, 2022, plane structure was what drove in the increase in wages, and that was where more money was injected into the competition, which allowed the salary caps to go from 1.2 to 1.8 and such and such. So what is it? From a player's point of view, do you think needs correcting? And do you have any ideas on how it can be corrected, etc.?
I think the players need a voice. I think the RFL and others are quite short-sighted in the fact that by increasing money, we get better players. And by better players, we create a spectacle, which, you know, increases everything, marketing, mm-hmm. sponsorship. And I just don't think... I think they're very short-sighted. I don't think that it benefits them. They don't see it as benefiting them. I think rugby league players need a voice. We don't have a players' union like everyone else does. We have nobody speaking up regarding us getting money, regarding us, you know, as wages being lifted, regarding, you know, player welfare, whatever it may be. I just think we need a bigger impact. I don't see where it's going to come from, but like I say, I think if the better players we get, the better standard rugby we play, the more we can market it, the more we can sell it. I think the better it comes for everybody, but...
Leon, do you still, you know, based on what Robbo's talking about, do you still think that we're going to see a player drain down to the NRL as they have the ability to, you know, to have that more of a spread in their sport?
Unless we try and keep up to them on the salary cap wise, you know, like what Robbo's saying, we've got to try and keep up. We've got to try and keep up to NRL. We've got to try and keep up to Rugby Union because we're losing a large group of our talent to them and to companies. Businesses, so get on with it. We need to find a way of keeping up with them, basically. And I don't know the answers. I'm not far off retiring, so.
Well, the strap line, which was sort of like promoted this Sunday, television adverts, etc., for the 2016 season, and this is our time. I reckon last year's a brand new era. The strap line that they used then, that worked. It explained exactly what it was, and I think it was a successful year. If you look at the amount of opportunities we had to talk about it, the knock-on effect that they had, because I think it had a knock-on effect with even the likes of Sport Personality of the Year award.
My argument is, Robbie, is this. For the last 10, 20, 30 years, I don't know, however long you want to go backwards, especially since Super League's come on and it's been live on Sky, the product has always been there. The product is not the problem. The game is not the problem. We've got a very, very, very good product that people like to watch. I think if you go on the TV ratings, we're up there. We're just below the football or whatever. We're next. Mm-hmm. We're next in line for viewing figures. It's massive. Everybody watches rugby on Fridays, Thursdays. But the marketing-wise and money-wise, we're way, way, way behind. I mean, darts is probably taking over us now. Mm-hmm. So we've got the product. That's us as players. We're producing the goods. But who's marketing properly? Who's marketing our sport?
Okay.
Because 5-10 years ago, darts were nowhere. Now it's everywhere. It's
okay,
massive.
So what do you think we need to do? The strapline, as I said before, is this is our time. How will we make 2016 our time?
Well, the people that are marketing our game, that's up to them to tell us. Now, we just need to produce on the field.
I'd raise the salary cap. I'd go back to the original point. I'd raise the salary cap. And I think by raising the salary cap, you're keeping our best players from going over there. You know, one or two might still go, but you're keeping them there. You're keeping them from going to rugby union. You might even start attracting them for rugby union.
How do we, if we raise the salary cap, the solution for the salary cap was a marquee player rule. For those that
for
don't
Sam.
Know,
Sam Tompkins. Listen, we need to get Sam Tompkins back. Let's put a new rule in. Marquee player, yeah, marquee player. We all agree. Yeah, let's
go. So basically, in Sam's a nutshell, back. The marquee player rules means that if you're a homegrown player, home developed player, you can, if you want, the club can name you as a marquee player. And even if you cost £400,000 a year, and I'm not saying that's what Sam Tompkins costs, but even if you do cost that, it will only count as £100,000 on your overseas quota. And I think if you're not a homegrown player, it'll be 175. Yeah, you'll be a value of 175. Even if you actually your wage is somewhere in the region of 600,000, which I can't believe there is anyone like that. But talking about that, if we just raise the salary cap, do we not then run the risk of creating us and them? Not only that, running the risk of other clubs then falling into the hole of not. Putting too many eggs into one basket and running the risk of administration.
I mean, you know that side of it obviously more than I do at this moment in time. I'm a player, you know. But imagine if we had James Graham, Sam Tompkins, Widdup,
the Burgesses.
Burgesses, all in our Cooper even, you know, all in our league. Surely that would bring more more revenue.
Well, I say this as well.
It won't, but if you base it on what Leon's saying, because if you can have that talent, and the reality is we did have that talent.
Right,
all of that talent was
here.
But unless it's promoted, unless it's launched into the limelight. Okay, well, let's flip it again. How do we make those players, how do we make our stars, you guys sat here now, how do we make you guys superstars?
God knows.
The £1 million question.
That's not my job to think about. All we think about is playing, Robbie. All they think about is going, get up in the morning, training, coming back home, seeing his families, and playing on a weekend. It's up to the guys.
You guys
will get paid the money to come up with the ideas,
to come up
with the structures to make us be better paid.
I know.
So
I know.
Come up with it.
All you
come
need
up
to
with some
do.
Answers, Rob. Come on, brother.
All you
we need
to
some
do,
more money, brother. I'm retiring soon.
Put everybody in a Freakin' Nation t-shirt.
Yeah. We've got Robbo hobbling around on one leg. I'm bloody half dead, running around on one leg. We just need a little bit of money, brother. Come on, look after the brothers.
Moving quickly along, if you're asking me for money. All right, Robbo, your headshed, your boss, not your boss, your brother-in-arms, Danny Brough, he says it may be a bit too late to find any real talent to replace Brett Ferris. Is it too late for you guys?
Yeah, there's one thing that Ruffy is, and that's brutally honest, you know, whatever he thinks he'll tell you, as the refs have found out. I do think it is. I just think at this moment in time, any good player worth his salt has already signed up. You know, who's going to be left available now? You're chasing out. You know, any player in a good establishment, they're not going to let a good player go. So who's left? Who's available?
Well, you just got to wait. There's always a couple of Aussies that get up to
pretty
mischief
much,
down there, and they get put
that's
on
what we're hoping for. Out, we're hoping for somebody getting a little bit of mischief, and then we can get him over here. But although,
the ones we want?
Well, no, they'll just probably go to Catalans anyway. Won't
no,
they,
give Frenchies a couple of weeks. They'll be sacking somebody for summer. Dave Taylor will be available in a couple of weeks if he keeps drinking like you're saying he is.
But no, it's obviously left a little bit of a hole in our squad. Obviously, we lost Yubi. We've also lost, you know, Brett now, which, whatever the circumstances were, he's a fabulous player. And he's a great, he's a good
world
player
class.
To have. Yeah, he is. He's world class. You know, he had a lot of NRL clubs after him, by all accounts, not only over here. So he's a player that's going to be really hard to replace at the best of times, never mind at the start of pre-season.
Yeah. But let's be honest. We all know this. The recruitment never stops. It doesn't really, does it? your club's constantly looking. You know you're going to get injuries. You know you might get a run of injuries in a certain key positions. So you've got to keep scouring the market.
I know that our club likes to keep a little bit of money saved away for that reason.
Rainy days.
Just basically, if something happens and we have an injury crisis on the wing, that we might need to bring somebody in as cover. They do put a little bit away, but the problem we're talking is, Brett, we're a big chunk of a salary cap.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was international back rower, so it's not like...
Strike player, wasn't he?
Yeah, you're not putting away £5 a week, hoping that in a couple of months somebody pops up.
And at 28 years of age, he's really just coming into his prime in that position.
Yeah, of course. And so, yeah, I don't know where we're going to get someone from. I think we've just got to roll with what we've got. We've got extremely good players.
Yeah.
We've got a lot of good players that want to step up into that spot. It's their opportunity.
Players do come available. If you remember, Leeds picked up Garbutt last year, and he was a decent acquisition for them. Adrian Morley back in 2005 with the Bradford Bulls with our team, Leon?
I won't worry about it too much, to be honest with you. I think what you're creating over the last 4 or 5 years, I just feel, is a winning culture. And creating a winning culture is far more important than one player. You are maybe a little bit more undercooked, but I think you're a lot more prepared for it than you would have been 4 or 5 years ago. So you'll get a player. You may be like
definitely more prepared than
I also think the lucky thing for us is I know this. You know the timing of it. At least we've got a full pre-season training. It didn't happen at the beginning of the year where we've had to release somebody, throw somebody in the deep end. We've had a full pre-season practicing with people, and then got a Kumatai, Lam Patrick's back.
Yeah.
They can all.
And Kumatai were playing really well for last year.
He played last year, mate. Yeah. When he's fit and on form, he's class.
Yeah,
I agree with that. All right, coming up after the break, we'll continue to talk the hot topics in rugby league, as well as I want to know from our two former England international their thoughts on a new national anthem for England. So stay with us here on Pulse One.
This is the Robbie Hunter Pool Show on Pulse One.
Sorry, ladies and gentlemen, we've just been messing about and Leon's decided to do a bit of beatbox.
Well, you're organising yourself, little man.
That's right. We're continuing on with the hottest topics in sport at the moment. But before we do, let's find out who's won the Bradford Bulls basic membership. Now, you had to answer this question. Name the year that Leon Price first played his played for St. Helens after leaving the Bradford Bulls. And I'll fly over to Jakey. Tell us, Jakey. Who the winner is?
The winner is Liam Corley.
Liam Corley, congratulations. And what was the year?
The year was 2006.
It sure was. Leon, that right?
That was a fantastic year for St. Helens as well, Robbie. We did the quadruple that year. We came top of the league. We won the Challenge Cup. We won the Super League. And we won the World Cup Challenge.
You'd
against
already
Brisbane
done
Broncos.
That.
I know, but that was, I was
you
not,
had already done
no,
that.
No, but not, I wasn't a pivotal role. I hadn't had a pivotal role in the
Are
games.
You might be the only person that's ever done that.
Twice.
Yeah, because JP can't do it because they're playing in the game this year.
I might, maybe.
And he's retired.
Find that out for me, Rob, if you want.
If that's not worth a knighthood or an MBE, I don't know what
I
is.
I haven't solved it yet. We're just happy we came fifth.
just to be a part of it. Just want to be a part of it. Okay, you and Ominous Flyover, too. You've got a good, nice little tweet there, haven't you? I'll come back to you in a bit. You're looking at me kind of confused.
Brother.
He's looking at me confused. All right. This has been going around in other sports. Really, everyone's been making a thing out of it. So I just wanted to turn towards my two former England internationals and ask them this question about getting some identity with a new national anthem for England. Obviously, Ireland have their own national anthem. Scotland, Wales, they all have their own national anthems when it comes to playing sport. What do you guys think about a new national anthem other than God Save the Queen?
I think it's a good idea because I think everybody outside of Great Britain kind of thinks that England is Great Britain, don't they? If you speak to a lot of Australians or Americans, they think England is the same as Great Britain when it's not. So probably having a different national anthem maybe separates us, so it's England's own rather than the Great Britain's.
I feel like it's ours. We own it. It's ours. Scotland and Wales and that.
That's why Wales and Scottish and all them what it is, though, isn't it?
Yeah, of course.
They think they own it, but it's ours as well.
Well, we do. So let's be fair. We dominate the world. We dominate. I feel like that's my anthem. That's our anthem. They just borrow it now and again because they're under our rule.
So that's it. There's you guys just pushing your. That's it. It's just ours. We're the big dogs.
We are. Yeah. That's why we're not liked.
Oh, I love that. At the moment, they're currently voting for a new flag in New Zealand, and I think it's a bit balmy, to be honest. Kind of maybe it's just I don't like change, but I kind of if you were going to change the national anthem, would you change it to a song that's already there?
I like,
or would
you create? I like Rule Britannia. I like.
What about England? No, we're gonna score
football, Robert.
Yeah, but you could steal it.
That's football.
Well, yeah, it's not. We're not talking about every sport having their own national anthem. We're talking about a national anthem that England.
That song represents football. We're going to score one more than you.
I can't imagine sure.
England lined up Vindaloo
before a game.
Me and my mum and my dad and my mum went off to Vindaloo.
You've got a long line of these things every time there's a World
Cup.
We've got some good songs.
But we never delivered the win with all them football songs, and we always get knocked out in group stages.
So stick with God Save the Queen or Rule Britannia.
No, Rule Britannia.
Yeah, but Rule Britannia, in the word it says Britain.
What about Chariots? What's the Chariots one? I've forgotten.
Swing low.
That's rugby union.
What's a rugby league one then?
I understand what I do. Having an identity though, because as soon as you hear swing low, you automatically connect it with
England
rugby union.
Maybe
so
this
understand.
Is a challenge for all of the listeners out there. Suggest to us.
One year we played, year 2000 World Cup, I played for England, and John Keir changed the anthem from God Save the Queen to another anthem.
But you don't remember.
I can't remember. it's on top of
2016, that's 16 years again.
2000, year 2000, yeah.
Yeah, that's 16 years. You got a lot of knocks to the head in those 16 years.
And we sung an anthem, but it was different to God Save the Queen.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised that we don't all know about that, because that's something quite outstanding, isn't
it's
it?
It's true.
To be able to do that and have that sort of influence as a coach. There was another picture of a rugby league player with a newborn. This time was Ryan Hall and his new baby. He did not fly out to join because they were giving birth to join the Leeds Rhinos out in Florida with their preseason training. They actually had a win over the United States international team. But one thing that I thought I wanted to discuss, so I thought this is an amazing story, is St. Helens' new signing Dominic Peru will watch the birth of his child on Skype, as his wife gives birth in their family home in North Queensland.
Who's all in the noise, mate? Who's holding the other end?
Who's holding the camera?
Hopefully his brother.
You're in a GoPro. Make it dynamic. Make you feel like you're really in and amongst it. Referees talking it through with the
I suppose it's a way, where there's a means of where.
Would you guys have got away with that? Sweetheart. No. I'm playing rugby. We'll Skype it in.
To be fair, Stu Fielden, who's coming on obviously in the other week, next week, he's. He came out late for England 2010 when he went to New Zealand, Australia, because his wife were giving birth. So he stayed a little bit.
To his son, Robbie. Yeah. Good name.
And he stayed for I think, an extra few days and then came and met us out because he didn't want to miss it.
And little did he know, he could have just used the digital technology.
Just let him go home.
No, he's making the decision to do it. That's why I'm asking you.
Why is he making that decision? He mustn't like his wife then, must he? He wants a divorce. I don't like her.
Oh, you can't say. But would you guys have ever even thought, contemplated being brave enough to ask your wife to say, no, you stay down there. I want to make sure that I make the first. Dominic Peru is a good player. He was an outstanding player for the New Zealand Warriors in the NRL when they were playing badly towards the last eight games of the season.
He might be a good player, but he's not a very good husband, is he, really?
Well, that's the question. Would you guys have been brave enough to ask that question? I know I wouldn't.
It's a little bit different, isn't it, pre-season. What would you have done if you were playing the final?
Oh, player.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've already spoke to my wife, and obviously,
final.
We've had three kids, and obviously, every time if they're ever around a final time, semi final.
But for the start of season and pre season, you can miss one game to go see.
It's a total different
to
thing.
See your child being born.
It's a different ball game for me. I said, obviously, when my kids get older, all boys,
So what about semi finals?
Probably
both of you guys have played crucial positions for all of your teams throughout your whole careers. You've both been decision makers.
I discussed it with my
massive
wife.
Massive hole in the team of both of you.
I
both of you's internationals.
I know that Kylie's very unselfish as well, so she'd probably tell me to play. So I'd have to play. 100% play.
She'd throw you out of the room.
No, she'd tell me, go play, Liam. Go on, you'll be right.
I mean, I sacked off my
But would you want to? Yeah, we're calling Dominic Peru a bad husband.
Don't be doing that press and getting me smashed when I play against Saints Hall booing me and smashing me.
He's as big
me,
as you as well.
Don't be scaring me, man.
I mean, I sacked off my wedding to go represent my country.
You did.
But that's totally different because it's a wedding, do you know
it's
what I mean?
It's the same thing.
No, it's not.
Rob, had you paid for it as well?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You lose money.
It's Cyprus. Luckily, I'd not paid it all.
That's all right.
Luckily, I'd not paid it all. The bad thing for me was, obviously, I had 30-odd family and friends go out there.
For a holiday.
For the wedding.
Right, I remember. This is what I reported.
And it made it worse because, obviously, Laura's dad, he lives just down the road in East Byler. He had to get a loan out for him and his family to come. So we're only in that.
But what are you supposed to do? They had an
1830s holiday.
Yeah,
they're all on boats, cruise, and watching me play on TV. So yeah, they had a great time, but giving birth's a bit different. I wouldn't miss the final, though.
I won't miss the final.
To be honest, most
or a semi or a quarter.
But pre-season,
you're getting back into the league pre-season. Now
pre-season, although saying that, I've been to America with Salford, it's a very good trip.
Yeah.
Someone might have told me about this trip with Carl Harris, who's coming on a Friday.
Bombay Bicycle,
he had a massive cow bite on every Friday. He was coming and go see you all Monday, and the place had just erupted. Good times.
Rhino big hat. Well, quite a few teams have been away warm weather training. What do you think their value in it? Do you think that they're a valuable week away?
Massively, yeah. Most times we go away. This year we haven't, but we've spent the last 2 weeks searching for pitches, training on really hard AstroTurf, disrupting our
field. Especially with the way the weather is at this point in time, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's been absolutely horrible. It's gone from really rainy, and now it started snowing and freezing.
We're just spending in the last 2 weeks searching for training fields.
And the new players that you get, you know, you don't know them. You're only spending a limited time with them. When you go away, you're just confined to them. Obviously, you're a bit peed off with everyone after a couple of weeks
together.
But it gets you in a closer environment. You get to really know your teammate, know what they
Importantly, though, because of the weather's so good and you've got no distractions with family,
that's the main
you
point.
Get like 2 weeks, 3 weeks worth of work
done,
don't you?
It's skill. At the moment, mate, I've got a bit of a dodgy hip, so I can't train on AstroTurf. I've had 3 sessions with team. That's how, because of the weather. Mm-hmm. You go over there, you can spend 10 days of just pure skill.
And, you know, you also, as a player, you feel like you want to be out there also, don't you?
Our chairman says he's going to take us next year, so that's no good to me. I'll be retired next year. I'll be watching you.
You've got to make it through this year first.
Exactly.
Well, that's absolutely brilliant. Boys, thanks again for having you guys in the studio. My thank you. You've been absolute gold. Leon Price and Luke Robinson, round of applause for those guys. Big show coming up in 2 weeks' time. Big thanks to you all from listening wherever you are tonight. Total Access is next here on Pulse One. So enjoy your lives, love your families, and live your rugby. I'm Robbie Hunter-Paul, and thanks for listening.
This is the Robbie Hunter-Paul Show on Pulse One. Wednesday evening from 6:00.